Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Let's look in Psalm 30. Psalm 30, I want to share a message entitled Joy in the Morning out of Psalm 30. We all go through tragedies and difficulties in life, but I'm thankful the Bible tells us that joy cometh in the morning. Amen. You might be in a midnight hour right now, but morning is coming, and there's always joy in the morning. Psalm 30, beginning in verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that God, when the trouble comes and the difficulties overwhelm us, Lord, we know that as we wait on the Lord and as we rest in our God, Lord, you give us grace to endure through and, Lord, to be able to come out on the other side with joy in the morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that no matter where we are, whatever we're doing, God, that you're ever with us and you're enabling us, Lord, to experience your protection and your blessings upon us. God, how I pray that this message tonight might be an encouragement. Lord, might challenge us, Lord, in the trials that we go through. But God, I just pray most of all that we may be like the psalmist as he cries out that he would extol the name of his God. And help us, Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 5. It says, for his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. They say William Cowper lived between November 1731 and died on April the 25th in 1800. He was an English poet and hymnist, one of the most popular poets in his time. Cowper, they say, changed the direction of 18th century nature poetry by writing of everyday life and scenes of the English countryside. Cowper, however, suffered from severe manic depression. He found refuge in a fervent evangelical Christianity, the inspiration behind his much-loved hymns. He wrote, God moves in a mysterious way. He said, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head. And certainly he knew what it was to be able to find strength and joy from the Lord when he would deal with such emotional roller coasters that he would go through in his life. Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India. She lived from December 16th, 1867, went home to be with the Lord on January 18th in 1951. She served in India as a missionary for 55 years without a furlough, and wrote many books about missionary work there. She stated this, joys are always on their way to us. They are always traveling to us through the darkness of the night. There is never a night when they are not coming. Now, oftentimes what we do is we face tragedies and we face, I had no idea to expect what happened today in that church in Texas. But we look at tragedies like that when we say, well, wait a minute, where is the joy? Where is the protection? Where is the grace? Where is the mercy of God? The joys of the Lord are always traveling to us. No matter what we're facing or what we're going through, there is always a presence of God and a move of God that, listen, when the darkness is over and the trial is past, there is joys everlasting in the presence of our God. There's joy in the morning. You know, David, as he writes his psalm, he is writing this psalm as a praise unto his God. He's expressing thanksgiving for God's deliverance and protection in his life. But we know David had to deal with the enemies constantly abounding against him. David had open enemies like Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And Saul would pursue after David, and it was not something that was hid. It was something very open and very obvious that David would have to deal with. And so he had open enemies, and you may have open enemies. You may have people that are very aggressively against you, but wait a minute, God is still your God, and he's still on your side, and he can still work in spite of what they may do against you. David had secret enemies like Shimei in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5 through 7. And Shimei would plot and plan a rebellion and betrayal of David behind the scenes. And it's amazing sometimes how people will try to do you harm secretly or try to get something against you. It's been amazing in the years that I've been in ministry, three churches that I've pastored, how many times when I didn't know what was going on, but God would impress on my heart, I would pray and ask God to bless, and I would not even know what's going on in somebody's life or what was going on in the church. And all of a sudden, God reveals it and God makes it known. There's those secret enemies that have a tendency to rob you of the joy of the Lord. But wait a minute, that God is still on your side. He's still on the throne, and God can still bless you and give you joy in spite of those. David had household enemies. Like Absalom, we know Absalom was so burdensome to David. David would really cry out, "Oh Absalom, oh Absalom!" His heart would break for his son and his rebellion against his own father. And David, when he writes his Psalm 30, we're reminded of the things that he would have to deal with, the struggles that he had in his life, and the many times that he was tempted to believe that his joy was going to be removed. So much so that when they were at Ziklag, when all turned against David, the men that was following him, David would, it says, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And so David had to find out how to enjoy the joy of Jesus Christ and the joy of his God in spite of the opposition he would face. Yet in all these tragedies, in all these oppressions that he would have to go through, God was with David and he delivered them out of them all. And may I say, I don't care what you're facing, that God is going to get you through it. God's going to enable you to deal with it and endure through to get on the other side. Don't allow the circumstances in life to destroy you and rob you of the joy that God has prepared for you. I remember years ago, Dr. Malone was preaching, and he said, this young man, he came up to him, saw him in the hallway in the college, and said, how are you doing there? And he called him by name, and the young fellow said, well, I'm doing okay under the circumstances. And Dr. Malone told him, he said, what you doing underneath of there? You're not supposed to be under the circumstances. You're supposed to be living above the circumstances in life. We're supposed to be living in the power of God and the grace of our God. And wait a minute, the circumstances and problems in life will rob you of the joy of walking with the Lord. And so don't get under the circumstances. Realize in the darkness of the hour, there is joy that's going to come when you get on the other side. Well, oftentimes people say, well, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but the problem is it may be a train coming head on. But the reality is with God, the light at the end of the tunnel is the Lord Jesus Christ making a way for you.
And so we can trust in the Lord and have joy in the morning. Let's look at this psalm and see what it has for us. First of all, there's joy in the morning because he's moved from sickness to health in verse 1 through 3. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has made my foes to rejoice, has not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought me up from my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down in the pit. I see several things here about David, and he's crying out about God's ability to heal his body. He said, O Lord, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. You know, I believe that God still heals in 2017. I believe that God doesn't heal every disease that we face, but I believe that God does heal the diseases and sickness that are in our bodies that will bring him glory through the process. You know, when Jesus healed a paraplegic, he didn't do it to be able to impress people that he could heal, but rather he did it to show that he was God. And if God will be glorified through bringing physical healing in us, I believe with all my heart that God can do that. I remember years ago, two deacons in my home church, one got cancer, and he went to the pastor and asked him to call the deacon board together and lay hands and anointing with oil that God would heal him. And they had a prayer meeting, and they called the deacons together. They anointed him with oil, laid hands on him, and prayed that God would heal him. He left out of that meeting, he said, and as he was driving down the road, he said he felt something change in his body. And so he went back to the doctor. He set up a doctor's appointment and went back to the doctor and asked him, I want you to examine me and see if there's any cancer here. The doctor examined him, couldn't find any cancer. That man lived for another 40 years or so, and he lived to be in his 80s as far as I know, and had a great tract ministry and great witnessing ministry down at Cowtown Flea Market. Every week you'd see him over there passing out Bibles, passing out tracts, witnessing to people, leading people to the Lord, and God did a miraculous healing in his body. Well, there was another deacon who also got cancer. And he did the same thing. He went to the deacons and went to the pastor and said, can you anoint me with oil and pray over me? And so they had a prayer meeting. They anointed him with oil. They laid hands on him and prayed over him. And he left, and he believed that God would heal him. However, God did not heal him. And he went home to be with the Lord just shortly after that time of prayer. And God took him into heaven. But during that time of sickness, during the time of being in the hospitals and going through all the things he went through and dealing with the cancer that was eating his body up, he was able to lead nurses and doctors to the Lord. He didn't lay there and gripe and complain. They used to come to him and say, you've got to need some pain medicine or something, that you've got to be in pain. And he used to tell them, I will never do anything that would bring a reproach on the name of my loving Savior. And he would lead people to the Lord. And I'll tell you, when he died, that my home church, I mean, it was packed with people. I mean, people streaming in from off of the street to see this man who was nothing more than a man that worked at DuPont's all of his life, who was an alcoholic, who trusted Christ as a Savior, and as a result of it, became a man who had a heart and a burden for people to be saved. And God did not heal his body to take that cancer out of his body, but God used that circumstance, the joy that he had even in the morning, to be able to be a witness to others, and multitudes were saved. I just know this, that God has a plan, and God has a will, and God has the ability to bring healing in our body if he so chooses. In Psalm 41 in verse 3, he says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. And God can heal when he desires to do so, and in spite of whatever it is that you are facing. My desire is not to say, God, you must heal me, but rather our desire needs to be, God, can you give me joy through the trial so that I can bring glory to your name in the process? In Psalm 103 in verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all iniquities and healeth all our diseases. And may I say this, you say, well, God didn't heal that one deacon. Yes, he did, because when he got to heaven, he has no more diseases in his body. Amen. God heals all of our diseases, and he takes us from sickness to health in our body. Well, he does also in our soul. In Psalm 30, where we read, says, O Lord, thou hast brought me up, brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. And so his soul was kept alive. I'm thankful that God can keep us from the abode of the dead. I'm thankful that God can keep us from the pits of hell. I'm thankful that God can restore our soul. And I'm thankful that I'm confident, and rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm thankful Ecclesiastes may say, and then shall the dust return to the earth where it came from, but it also says the spirit shall return to God who gave it. I'm thankful that God takes us from sickness to health, not only in our body, but in our soul, and yea, even in our spirit. Because he says this, you would not allow me to go down into the pit. I'm glad that he renews a right spirit within us. He gives us a spirit of life and joy and happiness. He gives us a life of spirit of victory and winning that cannot be matched by what this world has to offer. Joy always comes in the morning. I thought about when I got saved. I was going over this message and putting in, and I thought when I got saved in the middle of the night. And I'm going to tell you, I trusted Christ as my Savior. When I prayed in the middle of the night, there was burdens on my heart. There was condemnation in my soul. There was conviction by the Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I got up in the morning, I was a different person. I had the joy of the Lord resting upon me because he took me from sickness to a healthy spirit as the Spirit of God came in to abide in me. In Ezekiel 11 and 19, says, I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. I'm thankful that God gives us a new heart. I'm telling you, the world fleshly heart that we have is cold. It's callous. There's no joy. There's no freedom. There's no excitement. There's no expression. There's only depression and discouragement. But God, when he heals us from all of our sickness, he gives us a spirit that is right. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31 says, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I'll tell you right now, I don't understand. I can't comprehend it. I've been saying this a lot recently. I just don't understand why somebody doesn't want to be a Christian. I'm telling you that right now. I'd rather be a Christian than anything that's in this world. I'd rather be a Christian if I had no money, had no health, and had to crawl around on my hands and knees. I'd rather be a Christian than be in the world and have all that the world has to offer. I'm glad for new life that Jesus gives us. In Ezekiel 36, 26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and we'll give you a heart of flesh. I'm just saying this, that God is able to take us from the deadness and the sickness that is in this world and bring a healing upon us that we might have joy in the morning. I don't know about you. I don't like getting up grumpy in the morning. I like getting up happy. And sometimes I have to be careful because I get up before my wife. I don't want to get too happy in the Lord when I get up. Usually I get aggravated with my dogs because they're in my way. But I have to get them out of the way, and then I can get happy in the Lord, you know. I just don't understand people. Why do you want to live a grumpy life? I'll tell you one thing. I want to be happy. I want to be rejoicing. I want to be able to be thankful that God is moving in my life. And David, in spite of all the opposition he had, he understood that joy would come in the morning. Why? Because God took him from sickness to health. Notice he took him from weeping to joy. In verse 4, it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. He takes us from weeping to joy. How does that take place? First of all, by acknowledging God's character. That's what verse 4 tells us. It says here, sing unto the Lord. What is that? He receives our exaltation. The amazing thing is that God, who created everything, who needs nothing, who by his own grace and own mercy has extended to us an opportunity to be saved and have eternal life, receives our exaltation. I tell you one thing right now, I'd rather praise the Lord than praise anything else. I like fishing, but I can tell you one thing, there has not been a fish that I've caught that outshines the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Matter of fact, most of the time I go for boat rides, I don't do much fishing, amen? But wait a minute, the Lord receives our exaltation. You know when the church gets happy, they start shouting amen, they start letting loose, they start acknowledging the greatness of our God. Yeah, let me tell you something. God's not looking down and saying, well, you Baptists, you need to be quiet down there. God's sitting up in heaven. He's receiving our praise. He's receiving our exaltation. It's all right to shout amen once in a while. I don't know about you this morning. I was ready to let loose when my wife was singing. And I thought I'd almost jumped out of my seat in the 11 o'clock service. I thought these people, and nobody's even saying amen. I said, if I jump up, they'll have a heart attack for sure. I just put my seatbelt on and sat there and said amen, amen. Wait a minute, do we have joy in the Lord or don't we have joy in the Lord, amen? So weeping is turned to joy when we acknowledge the character of God, that the God of heaven actually receives our praise and exaltation. Not only that, but he separates his people. I like what it says. He says, oh, ye saints of his. The word saints there means to be separated. I'm thankful that God calls us unto him. I'm thankful he removes us from this world. I'm thankful he delivers us from our sin. I'm thankful for that he defeats the works of the devil. I tell you, it's all song. And I got to say it. I already said it to the choir. I'm telling everybody I saw it. I got to sing it. We're going to try to figure out how to sing it. The title of the song is this: the devil's in the phone booth calling 911. Amen. I got to sing that song. Amen. Because the verse goes, the devil's in the phone booth calling 911, and the church is on their knees loading up their spiritual gun. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when we sing now, I'm going to have Mark Pierce and he pulls his shotgun out. Amen. You say, you're a nutcase. Yeah, you're right. I am. He separates us. How can you not be happy about that? Man, you're going to have a time when we sing that song. I'm telling you, we're going to sing it. Why? Weeping's turned to joy. Oh, man, there's been times I've wept. There's been times my wife and I have trembled, weeping together because of situations. There's been times we've trembled and wept and cried to God in prayer. But I'm going to tell you, when you get through it on the other side, there's joy in the morning. He separates his people unto himself. He motivates gratitude in his holiness. He says, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I'm thankful that we are motivated to say thank you, Lord, because God is always holy. Holy. I'm thankful that my God doesn't change. I'm thankful the God that I declare to be holy today is the same God that'll be holy tomorrow. And I'm thankful that I can acknowledge the character of God, and so my weeping is turned to joy. When I'm overwhelmed with weeping and sadness, I have found this: when I look back to my God and start acknowledging who he is and what he is and what he'll do and his personal care for me, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to be sad, because joy comes to the heart in the morning. Amen. You're remembering God's compassion. That's what verse 5 says. His anger endureth but a moment. Thank God that his anger is only but for a moment. Notice his wrath is shortened because it is always exercised in his holiness. I'm thankful that the justice of God is tempered by the holiness of God. And may I say, the holiness of God initiates the justice of God. They balance each other out, and I'm thankful that his anger endures but for a moment. You know, God's anger towards me only lasted for 27 years.
You say, boy, that's a long time. No, it isn't. In comparative eternity, 27 years, just a drop in the bucket of time. And God's anger was turned to blessing when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm thankful that God's wrath is shortened always because of the fact that he exercises his holiness. Not only that, but his blessings always ministers life and not death. He says his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Never forget that. That, listen, when you walk with the Lord, there is always life. He does not bring death to us. He brings life unto us. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus said in John 5:40, he says, I've come that you might have life. But he said this, you won't receive me. You won't take a part of it. And God always with Christ is always life. And so my weeping turns to joy because I always have purpose and value and worth because he gives me a life that is worth living. His day, this is interesting, his day begins in the evening and ends in the morning. You read in Genesis about the days of creation. It says in the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. God's days begin in the evening. Thus, the darkest hour ends with light. And folks, I want you to know this, that you can walk in the light of Jesus Christ, and you don't have to be afraid of the dark. I remember as a kid, we used to be afraid of the dark. I remember once we were kids and we were told, my mom and dad said, we want to camp out. I don't know why anybody wants to camp out in a tent. But anyway, we wanted to camp out. So out in the side yard in our farm there, we put a tent up and we went out there to sleep out in our tent overnight. We lasted until about 9 o'clock, and then we came in because we were scared to death. We were down in the barn one time. All right, I'll give you a farm story here. Amen. We were going down. My wife's going to fall out of the chair. We were going down to the barn, and I don't know if it was a cow or dog or something walked by, and there was a shadow that cast up on the side of the barn. And the shadow was huge. Don't lose it, Carol. I remember we ran up to that house and we started calling it, there's the dark shadow down on the barn. We wouldn't go in the barn at night as kids. Our friends would come over and say, come on, you got to go down to the barn. The dark shadow's down there. We wouldn't go down there. I mean, the perspective of kids in darkness. Wait a minute. What's the perspective of the Christian when the darkness comes? The perspective of the Christian is darkness is only going to last for a few moments. And there's light that's going to be shining. The darkest hour, it ends with the light of God. The saddest experience in life ends with joy. You know, I can't think of anything sadder than losing a loved one and being separated from them. But I'm going to tell you, that sad experience is going to be replaced with joy when you see them in heaven. I'm just saying this. There is joy that comes in the morning. And so the saddest experience ends with joy. I don't know of any sadder thing for a parent to do than to have a child die. I watched my grandmother have several of her children. She had 9 children, 10 actually. One died when he was a baby. 9 of her children, most of them died. I think she only had 4 or 5 children left before she died. And I watched her at the grave of every one of my uncles and every one of my aunts. And I just watched a part of life leave her. I just watched her countenance fall. I will never forget my one uncle. They cremated him. And I was sitting in the church for the memorial service. My grandma was sitting next to me. And there was no casket there. There was an urn up on the table. And she leaned over and she said, Michael, where's Henry? Her son's name was Henry. She said, Michael, where's Henry? I said, Mama, he's up there. He's in that urn on the table. She said, where do you mean he's? I said, they cremated him. And she started to weep. She said, oh, what'd they do to Henry? I mean, it broke her heart. But I'm going to tell you one thing, that joy, that sorrow is replaced with joy when we meet our loved ones in heaven. Amen. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And God takes us from weeping to joy. Life begins in separation from God, but it ends in the presence of God. We're all born separated from God, but I'm going to tell you, when we trust Christ as our Savior, the ending of our life will be in the presence of God forever. And so from weeping, he takes us not only from sickness to healing, but he takes us from weeping to joy or rejoicing. Well, the last thought is this. He takes us from mourning to singing. You say, well, I can't sing anywhere. That's okay. You just sing out, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. It says in verse 6 and 7, his position. Notice he says, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was in trouble. I mean, we were practicing that song tonight in choir practice and talking, singing about faith. What does faith does? It does all these impossible things. It can tell this mountain to move. And I was laughing. I was there. I got Pastor Duana laughing. We almost got in trouble. Pastor Peterson, he was getting ready to give us demerits for being rowdy in choir practice. But I told him, hey, man, I said, get away from me, mountain. I cast you out. Amen. They're doing all crazy things. And brother, I tell you, I got to pray for you more and have to deal with us over there in choir practice. But wait a minute, that's our position. We talk about, wait a minute, God said if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say that that mountain be removed hence and it would be gone. But wait a minute, there's my mountain I have from God that will not be moved. Amen. Our position is this, I need not mourn because I can sing because, listen, my foundation standeth sure. Amen. His position. Notice his plea in verse 8 through 10. It says, I cried unto thee. That's his plea. O Lord, unto the Lord I've made my supplication. Notice the direction of his prayer. When he was in a state of mourning, he turned to his God. And listen, I have found this many times. When you're struggling with something and you're overwhelmed with the situations in life, I'm going to tell you right now, there may be not one person humanly alive that can identify with what it is you're going through. But there is one who can. I was looking at another song. I know a man who can. Amen. And Jesus Christ can heal your sicknesses. God can heal your sorrows. God can take your mourning and change it into singing if you'll direct your prayer towards him. Notice the defense in prayer. In verse 9, says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall I the dust praise thee? Shall I declare thy truth? He's actually pleading with the Lord here and building a defense before God for God's protection in his life, because he says this, what good is it if you allow my enemies to kill me? What good is it if I go down to the grave? Can I praise you anymore? Can the dust lift up its voice and praise you? He's making a defense of why God should turn his mourning into singing. Notice also the dependence of prayer in verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And God can help you and strengthen you when you face those bad times in life, when those sorrows come. And I'll tell you, and they are going to come. You're not going to escape them. But when they do come, I'm going to tell you, you have a God that you can rest in. You have a God that you can depend upon, that he'll give you what you need to be able to rejoice in him. So mourning to singing. He has a position, he has a plea, but you see verse 11 and 12 is his pleasure. Notice verse 11 says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Notice that depression is turned to expression. He says, you turn my mourning into dancing. That isn't the boogaloo or any rap music.
That's talking about being expressive. It's talking about having emotion. It's talking about being moving. Depression turns to expression. You know, when God enters in and God moves on your behalf, I'm going to tell you something. God will give you something to be able to get you up when you don't feel like getting out of bed. God will give you an opportunity to be able to sing praises to his name when you don't feel like singing. You know, the reality is there's times I don't feel like preaching. Things go on in life, trials come, and I don't feel like preaching at all. There's been many times I've said, Lord, I don't feel like preaching. Get somebody else to preach this Sunday. And I come in church, there's nobody else to preach. Although Pastor Rapier was saying, he'd jump up here real quick. Amen. Okay, he's smiling. I know what he's doing. And so I told the Lord, I can't do it. And I'm going to tell you, from the time I walk from here, I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, I just ain't got it in me today. I just don't have anything. And the offering's done. And a special music has been sung. And now I get up there. And I get up. And I get up here real quick. And by the time I stop here, my morning is turned to singing. The Spirit of God takes over. And even though I might not feel like preaching, and even though I might be overwhelmed with discouragement, I'll tell you, the Spirit of God comes on me, gives me something to talk about and rejoice in. And I'm going to tell you, in those messages that I preached when I did not feel like preaching are the ones that respond, when people respond the most to the message that I preach. Why? Because God takes depression and changes it into expression. And so his pleasure. Notice oppression is changed to observation. In verse 11 says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So here he was oppressed in sackcloth, but now he's girded with gladness. You know, let the Lord put a happy face on you. I'm not talking about putting on a facade. I'm not talking about being a phony. I'm talking about having a real relationship with God where your pleasure is in the Lord, and no matter what's going on in your life, you can be glad and happy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we need to allow the Lord to give us joy that comes in the morning. Well, notice silence is changed to exuberance in verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Notice he says, I don't want to be silent. I don't want mourning to rob me of the joy. I want to be exuberant and expressive in praising who my God is. And I'm going to tell you, it's kind of hard to be quiet about God when God has done something special in your life. I don't know about you. When God does something in my life, I like to tell somebody about it. I'll tell you, there's times when I come in church, I just can't wait to sing. I really can't. I can't wait to sing the congregational. I like singing all the songs. I remember Dr. Malone saying years ago, if he could sing like some of these singers could sing, you'd never shut him up. He'd be singing forever. And I just kind of feel like him. I told my wife she was going to sing this morning. She was practicing at home, you know, listening to the song and let me hear it. And see what I told her, I said, well, I can do a duet with you with that. I'll sing the bass notes. And she was like, no, you're not singing. And I'm ready to sing. Amen. I can't wait to get that song. You know, the devil's in the phone booth, dial 911. I can't wait to sing that song. Amen. You say, why? You're crazy. I'm just telling you this. God changed my mourning into singing. I have a song that God put on my heart, even praise unto my God. And bless God, the church ought to get some excitement about it and exuberance in singing unto our God. I mean, our congregational singing, it might not be pretty, but it ought to be loud. Amen. I was thinking 11 o'clock service. I was going to say something, but I didn't, because you know I'm a nice person. We were singing the invitation song in the 11 o'clock service. And, it, you know, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I was looking around, and I'll tell you, it was hard to find a smile. I mean, 'tis so sweet. Trust in Jesus.
just to take him at his word.
I almost jumped up here and said, whoa, stop. All right, take your fingers. Put a smile on your face. Get us something sweet, candy or mint or something, and put it in your mouth. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Good night. We ought to put a smile on our face. We ought to be expressive about who the Lord is. We're crying out loud. He's delivered us out of a horrible pit. He's put our feet on a solid rock. He's given us new life. He's given us his presence, his joy, his healing, his strength. Bless God, there ought to be something to rejoice in. Amen. There ought to be praise of the Lord in the house of God.
And I'm going to tell you, a lot of you are going to be shocked when you get there. And you see all the excitement that's going on. You say, man, these people are crazy. Amen. The Lord's going to look at it and you say, well, that's what I would have received from you if you would have given it to me. Amen. Joy in the morning. Listen, weeping may endure for the night. And may I say, there are going to be the night hours when you're going to weep. And oh, how it aches the soul. And how it hurts when you have that weeping. But wait a minute, morning's coming. Amen. Morning's coming. And when the morning comes, there's joy. And so let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for all he is. And don't allow the discouragements, displeasures in life to completely rob us of rejoicing in our God. Joy in the morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, God. My vocabulary is not wide enough, nor is my voice strong enough to express the praise that is in my heart. God, I'm thankful for those dark hours because I learned in those dark hours that you're with me. Yea, God, when you brought me on to the other side, what a joy, what an excitement, what a life. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight that needs to be saved, may they enter into this new life that they can have through faith in Christ. But God, may every believer here tonight just fall in line with David and rejoice that the morning is coming. And help us to rejoice in thee. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's